people don't give themselves permission to explore those things.
Yeah.
They're thinking right or wrong.
Yeah.
They're thinking, what's the expectation? What are my friends going to say? What's my family? It's like, go.
Yeah.
You know, allow yourself, give yourself the gift of life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most important things I've learned.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, and today we have a guest, Eddie Pinero. Welcome.
Great to be here, brother.
Yeah, great to have you. So you're rolling with Tyler here, obviously, as the listeners were digesting the podcast last week. They got to know Tyler. You guys roll in packs with the Levels brand, right?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to hear your story. Everybody kind of has a story that led up to the, just as we heard Tyler's story about the before the incident and after the incident, right? There's always a story that creates the individual that they are today and puts them on a path to become the best version of themselves. And so if you will tell us, if there was some sort of shifting moment, I know he was saying that you've changed a lot in the last year, you know, and people usually don't like change unless their current situation is bad enough to make them get up and put forth the effort, right?
Yeah.
And so what was your situation looking like prior to Tyler?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing because to your point, there can be, you know, any type of situation, a tragedy, something that completely, you know, causes you to pivot 180.
Yeah.
I think the other side of that is sort of manufacturing pain to grow.
Yeah.
Right? Because so I look at the last 10 years as more of a journey and a process as, you know, compared to like an immediate explosion where I go, whoa, okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, first let me give you kind of the 101. So, you know, I'm a speaker and storyteller. And so I've been cultivating a personal brand on YouTube and social media now for almost a decade.
Wow.
You know, almost 2 million folks. And it's generally through just storytelling, talking about life, highs, lows, ups, downs, things.
So was that always a knack that you had as a kid, is storytelling? Like, what got you into that?
It was art and creativity.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't sure how that would manifest. And so, you know, a lot of it was exploration and seeing, like, you know, how can I take the things that I love to do and deliver them in a meaningful way?
Yeah. You know, did somebody put you onto YouTube and said, hey, you want to start doing this YouTube thing? Or did you have a mentor? Or is this just the idea that you had one day and started doing it?
Just an idea. So it was, my story, it was very unremarkable for a very long time. It was get good grades to get a good job.
Yeah.
College to get a corporate role to go up, right? And like, you look around at some point and you're just so unfulfilled.
Yeah.
That, you know, I was joking around, I was with my buddy in the car, we were praying for a flat tire on the way to work. It's like, what kind of life is that? So this, you know, it was doing a lot of that in you know, the insurance industry.
Mm.
And at the same time,
like life insurance or?
Property casualty.
Okay.
And I was creating like curriculums and onboarding materials for new hires because we were hiring a lot of kids out of college, just like I was, that had no idea about insurance or the industry, but they're performers in school and it's like, about overview of insurance and you know, real riveting stuff. You know, I met
super exciting.
I met some amazing folks there, but yeah, the content was a little dry. And so simultaneously was writing music. I was producing musicians around Boston, playing shows, just singer songwriter stuff. I was taking the camera out, recording videos, making videos, doing creative writing. Eventually got the courage to leave the corporate space and just started full time doing the music thing.
What do you mean the courage? So were you just at a really low spot and just kind of did some introspection and said, this ain't it?
Courage in the sense that it's all you know.
Yeah.
So leaving it is almost unfathomable. It feels like you look over your shoulder and you worked your entire life to have this job paying you 70 grand a year where you show up at 9, you leave at 5. You don't want to let your family down. You don't want to let your friends down. You don't want to be the guy who doesn't know or doesn't have a role. It's ego. It's finances. It's all these things where it's just like, stepping outside that box is just not something that I...
Part of your identity at that point, as Tyler was talking about, and having to shift that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like when I talk about manufacturing pain, you have to manufacture to an extent that leaving becomes the only option. You know, the pain of being there is more than the pain of not knowing. You know, and eventually I got there and I left, and I did. I spent almost a year just doing some of those creative things. And so the first YouTube video, to answer your question, was like, I wanted to, like, this is the point where the bank account's very close to zero.
Yeah.
Right? So there's just, there's a lot of stress and...
It's not looking good.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's cool to be a singer-songwriter. It's cool to be a creative, an entrepreneur. It's not cool when there's no money coming in and your boxers.
Yeah, but... Sounds cool, but it doesn't feel cool when you're starting out. Yeah,
exactly. So I wrote a speech called Ode to Excellence that was like a promise to myself, hey, stick this out. Like, try it. For once in your life, put your back against the wall and do something meaningful and just see how you respond. And, you know, the message meant everything to me. I got to bring in, you know, the music component, the editing component. I made it like a little... 3-minute cinematic, almost like a little movie, and uploaded it. And I had so much fun doing it and got a response from people that was like, hey, this resonates. I'm going through the same thing. You're right. I do need to keep going. And it was like sort of this firework light bulb moment where it's like, this is the path that I want to walk down.
And so you've been doing that ever since?
Yeah.
Just... so you have a like a studio at home, or like, where do you source your inspiration? Like, if you're at home, like I have a tough time working out of my house or out of, like, I have to go somewhere. Like, even the gym, I have a place to exercise at home, but it's like,
sure,
you know, that still feels like home base versus a gym, right? So I still like to go exercise somewhere where there's a dedicated space just for that, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you source inspiration?
So before I had the luxury of sort of having that space to create and having the studio, it was just minimal studio setup. You know, I had for the first 4 years, studio apartment, right?
Yeah.
Just in the corner, where for the first couple of years I was writing and composing the background music. And then again, you snowball, you start to grow, expand the business. You have the resources to start licensing music, licensing editors, all these things that allow you to scale. But that's a time. And it was, you know, the inspiration comes from just life, things you read, things you see, music you listen to. When you sort of tune your brain to find meaning in things, you do it. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've gotten in the habit of asking why. You know, good things happen. Amazing, why? And how can you share that with people? Because the athlete, the entrepreneur, and the single mother can all relate in some way. Or I got my ass kicked trying this. Okay. There's value there. Talk about why. Talk about what you can do differently. Create a story that other people can use to, you know, impact and create change in their lives.
Yeah. So you are now a source of inspiration to others. You obviously follow people that inspire you, right? Like, You're asking why to find that internal source for yourself, but do you follow people that you look up to and that inspire you to keep doing what you're doing as well, just as you are for other people?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think from all walks of life, but it's like from those things too, where, you know, like anything, you have to be in the right season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Times where, you know, I need like Gary V, for example, in the morning to be like, hey, do more, right? Sometimes it's that simple.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, you know, Jordan Peterson, hey, turn chaos into order. It's like a little bit more of the philosophy. It's why, it's delving into things. Sometimes it's more the emotional side of things. Sometimes it's a poem or something a little bit more existential. So like, yeah, to me, it's really, it depends on what you're going through. And
so do you ever try to source inspiration like on purpose outside of yourself, or do you just find it?
So right? My source.
Like, what I mean is, you know, some people have a writer's block, and so that they put themselves in, and you know, hey, I'm going to go away for a while and go be in the woods with myself and try to source inspiration, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to read Jordan Peterson's book, or I'm going to go directly to Gary Vee, or I'm going to go direct. Like, that's what I mean by sourcing inspiration, right? Going directly to these people and saying, okay, I'm going to put my brain in this environment so that I can pull myself out of this funk or find what I need to find at this point.
Yeah.
Or do you just find it when you need to find it, just happens to find you?
I think that's what it is. It happens to find me. I mean, I'm looking out for it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's finding story and things that most people find is mundane, right?
Yeah.
I asked you if you ever run a marathon. You said, no, I've never run a marathon, but I run 50 miles on my own, right? And to me, like, there's something very free-spirited. There's something about why. Why are you doing it? Why do you need to sign up to do something that's life-changing? Would it even be more if you didn't, right? There are things like that in itself could be an amazing speech that a lot of people will resonate with. I don't need to be official. I don't need to, you know, have, you know, a thumbs up from anyone else. I can put on my shoes and I can go do something meaningful by myself because it's for me. And that's transformative. And that's where life really exists.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. And I you put it the right way.
Yes. Well, I heard Michael Phelps say, you know, I mean, as we scroll through social media and you hear, you know, athletes and they put together the, you know, videos that are inspirational like you do now. I heard him say, hey, I was in the pool every single day for 5 years, on Christmas, on my birthday, on this, on that. I'm like, okay, cool. But there was a reason he was in the pool every single day for 5 years. He wanted a specific result that was outside of him. He wanted that gold medal.
Yeah.
Right? And I asked myself, I said, could I do something similar but not have anything pulling me towards that, like a external result, more so for the purpose of just putting myself through a gruesome process and finding comfort in misery. And then at that point, knowing that life itself outside of that misery becomes pretty simple, just as Tyler was talking about that event once a year that people put themselves through. I try to manufacture that event every single morning so that the day, nothing. I mean, you can ask Corey on the other side of the wall. I'm like, that's fine. It's all good. It's all good, you know, like, because I understand what misery or pain or struggle feels like, because I want to stay close to that, right? I want to be intimate with struggle so that I don't lose perspective, because I fear that success changes people and I don't want to change to the point where I get so comfortable that I actually lose the individual that I was becoming when I was starting to be successful, because I believe it's the process that's beautiful. It's not the result. And so that's why I created the 1,000-day challenge for myself and doing the 2-a-days and running like I do, right?
Yeah.
And so I believe that people need to stop waiting for something to sign up for, something outside of them, a date, in order to eject themselves off the couch and actually start finding the best version of themselves, right?
Yeah. I mean, the external result that you are seeking is who you're becoming and never out. I mean, it probably isn't that. That's what a trophy represents or a medal represents. You know, you don't need that.
Yeah.
You're doing it because it reminds you what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And maybe, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, maybe some of the things you come across in the day-to-day with business and family, whatever it is, you know, as those issues arise, it helps you put them into perspective.
Yeah.
When you just ran 15 miles in the heat, makes everything else seem a little less intense.
Yeah. Well, I also believe that it increases gratitude for little things. Mm-hmm. The man that sits on his couch every single day doesn't really appreciate his couch.
Yeah.
Right? But if you were just on your feet pounding the pavement and your feet hurt and your legs are sore and you walk into your home, you have more appreciation for your couch. When I go get in the shower after a long run, I appreciate my shower. I'm not half asleep, just kind of going through the motions, right? And so it helps me have just, it grounds me and helps me have more gratitude for even all of the little things in life. And so that's kind of the reason behind it. It might not make sense to many, but I think more people need to do things that make sense to them, right? There was an individual that sent me a message yesterday on Facebook because I made a post and it was big long message, then a big long message. And it was this big I just thought, I would let you know something so that you could understand me better. And I said, nobody needs to understand you, dude. I said, that's the problem. As long as you understand you and you're doing things for the right reasons, nobody else needs to understand you.
Yeah.
And I think too many people are seeking to be understood by somebody outside of themselves rather than just doing things that make sense to them and give them a certain feeling or certain meaning and purpose, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people looking for, there's kind of an idea that I heard about, what's it called? The idea, long story short, is there's like if you think about a hospital bed, right? And let's, God forbid, something happens to you.
Yeah.
And you're there and, your immediate family would be there. Think about the people that we worry about criticizing us or the opinions that we focus on. Would those people be in that hospital room with you? Like 99.9999% of it is no.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're caring and you're exhausting and exerting energy into things that like those people would not give it back.
Yeah.
And it's like protect what's precious.
Yeah. Which is
the people that are close to you and what matters to you.
Yeah.
It's easy to tell this story where it's like all this other stuff is meaningful. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that how you feel about yourself is probably one of the most meaningful things that people could do with their life is start tapping into that, right? Like I've told people before, when I watch somebody do something, for instance, like runners, right? When I would watch videos of David Goggins doing his thing or whatever, I felt something. And if I felt something, that means that something is within inside of me too. If I watch somebody play tennis, I don't feel anything, even if they're great at what they do. Okay, so I'm not going to want to go play tennis just because somebody else is great at tennis. But I believe that if you're watching somebody do something and they're great at what they do and it pulls you, I believe that you should start pursuing that in one way or another, right? I always admired athletes that look like an athlete. So I want to look like an athlete. I admire people that ran long distances. So I wanted to run long distances. I admired people that were in business and that were successful. So I wanted to be in business and be successful. I admire people that could speak well from stages. So I've started speaking on stages. Like those are the things that I would look at and say, I really admire how well that person speaks or how they look or how they carry. And then I try to, instead of just having it be a source of inspiration, actually do something with the feeling, right? And so I touched on it last podcast about purpose, this, that, the other. And we're talking about tapping into feelings now, right?
Yeah.
If watching something makes you feel a certain way, there's a calling within you to do something in that realm as well. Do you believe that?
I do.
Yeah.
You know what I think is really cool about you saying that is so you're an action taker. Like a lot of people stop at the I wish.
Yeah.
Right? And you do. And that little resistance is often the barrier between going and not going.
So, yeah.
I'm a runner. Let me put it differently. In the past couple months, I've stopped or I've changed my routine, but lifelong runner, a lot of my metaphors about running, some of the most important things I've ever experienced are because of running.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that you encounter when you're running, I was a long distance guy, is like at some point along the way, there's going to be a piece of hell you have to go through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's drastic. Sometimes it's not as much.
Yeah.
But there's, it's always going to exist.
Yeah.
And in your mind, the question is not, do I do this? It's how do I get through this because I'm going to.
Yeah.
And to me, that is so, it's incredible because when you are on that ledge, and I actually gave a TED talk on this, it's like, it's the same question. It's not, can I do this? This is your race. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
You just got to ask how. How do you position the pieces?
Mm-hmm.
And so like throughout my journey, like my first keynote, I was like shaking behind the cow,
Yeah.
It's like 6 years ago, just praying that the place would get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, no, you do it. And yeah, you suck the first 10, 15 times, but you do it.
Yeah.
Same thing like getting out of a bad relationship and moving to bring my business down to Florida. I was there for 6 years. Didn't want to do it. My friends were up there. My family was up there. Like, but it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And you do it. And so I think that is the S. That's what people miss, because it does. There is always going to be that initial discomfort and the hurt and suck.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, the hurt and suck and discomfort is just a question of how bad do you want it? Every single time that I'm in pain or I'm struggling when I'm out there running, the pain just asks a question. How bad do you want it?
Right. Yeah.
That's it. And you respond with action, right? And that's the only way to respond. Like, you could say, oh, well, this, da, da, da. Nobody cares about what you almost did. People only care that you bared a suffering that only few are willing to bear, and you made it through. And then and only then, they want to crack open your mind and see how you tick. That's what makes you interesting, is that you've done something that other people are willing to do.
Yeah.
They're curious about how you've been able to endure when they don't believe that they could have endured what you did, right?
Amen, dude.
Yeah.
What's crazy is how much of that suffering is ego, though, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're running, it's physical.
Yeah.
A lot of things, it's... Because I remember starting, you know, 9 years ago,
yeah,
a dude with the microphone telling stories, you know, you don't have an audience, you have no validation, you have nothing.
Yeah.
And I remember being so disappointed that, like, my quote-unquote friends at the time just were not there, did not show up the way I thought they did.
Yeah.
Then I took it so personally, I was, like, angry and defeated. It was like, should I do this? And you learn, like, this is your ego. It's life. It's not personal. You know, you have to show up for you, because that's the only way things will get done.
Yeah.
And so that was a really, that type of pain, that sort of continuing through, is one of the most important things. I was just giving a talk at my friend Evan Carmichael's mastermind, showed my YouTube analytics. So years 1 through 7, pretty sturdy.
Yeah.
And then year 7 just shoots up.
The hockey stick.
Hockey stick.
Yeah.
Right? Views, watch time, ad revenue, everything. And was thinking they would say, you know, Eddie, well, how did you blow it up on YouTube? What did you change? What? They didn't care about that. They were like, how did you not quit?
Yeah.
And it's like, again, I keep going back to running. It's like, it's just not an option. You just go.
Yeah.
The door's not cracked, because otherwise I'd kick it open. It was shut. This is what I'm doing. You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's that same type of idea, just different context.
Let me ask you this. What's your feelings about expectation? And what I mean by that is, you said, hey, my friends didn't show up the way that I thought they should.
Yeah.
Right? So that means that you created a false expectation in your own mind of how somebody else should be acting or showing up for you, right? That created a pain and suffering that you probably didn't really have to deal with, right? Because you projected that expectation onto other people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, speak on that just a little bit.
Well, I think two things can be true. One.
Yeah.
Like, one is you have to detach from those externalities.
Okay.
Like, you can't rely on other people to pat you on the back.
Yeah.
But the other piece is, when you do have a circle and you do have people that support you, it makes that easier as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was also an audit of, like, these people are in my life and they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know? Not because they're, again, not because they're bad people or I'm virtuous and they're not, but because I'm on a mission that I think is important and I care a lot about it and I've sacrificed and given a lot to it, and I want people that lift me up. And not only that, I want to reciprocate it. I want everyone in my life to do well. I want to make them better.
Yeah.
Be a team. You feel that.
Yeah.
In everything you do.
Was there ridicule at all throughout the process from people close to you, family members or friends, or maybe something said about you, hearsay that, you know, made its way back to you about so-and-so saying this or that, or he thinks that, you know, he's going to become blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they gave me a little bit of shit.
Yeah.
Or, I think one of them in a group chat accidentally said, like, let's listen to Tony, or here's Tony Robbins, or,
yeah,
you know, the opposite.
Everybody says that about anybody that gets a camera or microphone.
Oh, exactly.
Who do you, what are you, Tony Robbins? Well, I mean, it's a compliment to Tony because everybody throws out his name when somebody hits the camera. I'm like, who do you think you are?
The face of the
development. Yeah, I guess if they say eventually, who do you think you are, Eddie? Then you'd be like, huh, I guess I made it, right? So, yeah, it's a compliment to Tony, but
it is.
They're sure trying to, like, kind of say, stay where you are, right? That is not you, right? You're here. Who do you think you are?
And growth, generally people don't like growth, like seeing folks evolve, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's uncomfortable because it causes reflection.
Yeah.
This person's changing. Why am I not changing?
Yeah.
Right. So I think that was a big thing, but I'm grateful that my family was like very supportive.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very nice thing to have that, you know? But again, like, you need it. You need to be hardened up. Like, my view of life was just so different. Everything was, you know, rainbows and sunshine. If you put in work, you immediately get a result.
Yeah.
None of that's true.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a one-to-one proportion. It's like you go and you go and you learn and you adapt and you evolve. And what people say is what people say. You surround yourself with the right ones and you continue forward.
Let me ask you this. If you could gift somebody $100 million and it's not in your immediate family, and you couldn't touch any of it, it's just blessing somebody else, who would that be?
Blessing someone with $100 million.
Yeah. Somebody that maybe impacted you in a way that helped create the man that you are today.
That's a good question. I credit my grandfather a lot. For my growth, just because of how he passed away in like 2004. So like, it was a long time, but like the things he'd say, you know, always say things like, Eddie, you're stronger than you think you are. And you're a kid. I mean, what am I, 11, 12?
And yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean.
Kind of, yeah, exactly.
But then you sit on it and it's like, that's just so incredible. Or right when he got diagnosed with a brain tumor, like he took me to this restaurant, Cape Cod Canal, and just one of those things you never forget. He said, this is going to be very hard on you and our family, and I want you to know that you can handle it. You can deal with it. Like, these things are going to be difficult, but you will rise to the occasion. And it's just like that wisdom is just like arming someone with the strength to you know, walk through hell.
Yeah,
because that's what it was. I mean, he's a very important person in our family.
Yeah,
we all loved him. We were very close, and it's like devastating.
That gap that was created,
and so he went out of his way to lift people up, and the way he did it too, like, you know, just zero victim mentality.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So the tumor was in his head, and he would joke around. You know, would be like, "Are you all right? Do you need anything?" And be like, "I'm fine. It's all in my head." Right. He would not allow for a second people, you know, to feel sorry for him. Mm. Like that, you know, I took that too.
Yeah.
I want to be that.
Yeah.
I want to be a victim.
Yeah.
You know, I want to lift people up.
Yeah. It's crazy. The impact of a few repetitive words to somebody that's young and the impact that can make.
Yeah.
You know, my mom told me many times when I was young, you're going to do something great with your life. You're going to do something. And I'm just like, looking around my environment, growing up poor. I'm just like, didn't really mean much, you know, back then. It kind of just was lip service is what it felt like, right? Just trying to make me feel good in the moment.
You realize now it's everything.
It was everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was literally concrete foundation, right? That I then, down the road, built the person I am based upon the fact that somebody believed enough in me and could see something in me and knew that I would do something great with my life. What are some of the things that you do every single day without fail, right? Like, you finally get to a point where you're successful in life and you're making money. And, you know, usually there's a couple core habits that you really, that ground you and that help you find peace. Like, what are some of your daily habits that you just don't go without?
Yeah. So I have some now and I'll go to them in a second. There's sort of a caveat here that I'm always careful with.
Yeah.
Particularly like in the personal development industry, because everyone's got a formula.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. Everyone will tell you, you know, their way is right.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie Munger said, you know, you are your own experiment. And to me, that was just such a beautiful way of looking at it. It's like, I'm a morning person. So my routine is very much, you know, it relies on me getting up and getting the right mental state and feeling good and feeling productive right away.
Yeah.
Because for me, that carries through.
Yeah.
I have buddies that incredibly successful, incredibly wealthy, happy, fulfilled, get up at 10 and work until 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, so they're right or wrong way. But for me, it's like I like to get up, go in the cold plunge, just shocked me, wakes me up, hit the sauna, and then reverse order. But that's what I do. And then go downstairs, do a little bit of writing on the patio, grab a coffee, and just sort of ease into the day. I start working out at night now, so like 7:30 p.m., which is, I've never done that until the past 3 months, but I like it, and it's working for me. So
what made you make that switch?
At first, it was practical, because I mentioned that I was a runner.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to put on weight, and injuries and all this stuff had been really holding me back. So I've invested a lot into trainers and folks to help me get through that. And so the guy that I lift with is free at 7:30 p.m. And he's the best, in my opinion. So it's like I'm making it work. And now, like anything, you adapt and love it. So
So you would say getting up early, finding some time alone, shocking your body, moving your body in the evening, right? Or at any point, sometime of the day, not necessarily saying it has to be evening, as you alluded to, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a firm believer that everybody does have their own journey. As I talked about sourcing inspiration, I think that, you know, if it makes you feel a certain way, then cool. Just, you know, again, you might source it differently than I source it, right? We can both watch the exact same video and me not feel a damn thing, you know, looking off over here, and you're just drawn into it. I mean, we both like gym, you know, and the old class, you know, we do have that in common. But I think that the issue is most people are getting a feeling based upon other people's accomplishments. It's almost like getting out of a Rocky movie and feeling like you're a boxer for, you know, an hour, like you can kick anybody's ass without ever even having to train.
Yep.
Right. So you're living off of a high, off of something that you watched or what somebody else did versus what you're doing. And I think more people need to just work towards building a life that gets closer to that feeling that's earned through whatever it is that they're doing. They have to make a deposit in order to get the feeling, not necessarily a scroll to get the feeling, right? Whether it is a morning workout or an evening workout or a midday workout, I believe everybody's journey is a little bit different and everybody will source that feeling a little. Like, I'm not going to get up and write, right? Like, that's going to be your thing. That helps ground you. That helps you find peace. And I think it's very imperative that everybody finds those one or two things that do ground you, whether it is cold plunging, whether it is running, whether it's lifting, whether it's reading, whether it's meditating, like yoga. I mean, it could be a whole slew of different things. But if you do something every single day consistently for a long enough period of time and your body can predict that that's going to happen, it's going to find some sort of peace and solace in that, knowing, okay, this is going to happen. I'm going to feel this way at least once a day.
Right.
Do you find that to be true for you?
Like,
starving for that feeling?
Not only true, but critical.
Like,
one of the most important things, and it's funny because it feels counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that life is a game. Like, take it less seriously and everything valuable to you will become apparent, right? I looked at life like this checklist. Like, what am I supposed to do? What are the right people doing?
Yeah.
What do I need to do? What are the expectations? I'm X age, therefore this needs, and it's like, I remember,
I got to be married with kids and have a house and, you know, whatever, right? Yeah.
And I remember having this light bulb moment sitting at a table with some entrepreneurs in LA. And at this point, like maybe 2 or 3 years out of the corporate world, and just soak it up, you know, try to learn. And the way these guys talked about life was like, oh, like, this is a cool idea. I like beef. Maybe I'll make a beef company. Maybe. And it's like, you can just do that. You can just manipulate reality like that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I took pressure off myself to be anything but what felt right, aligned, right? And it allowed me to explore and find those things. It's like people ask, like, how are you a quote-unquote motivational speaker? Is that what you wanted to do? It's like I just said no to the things I didn't want to do and continuously said yes until I found a niche. Storytelling that can help people, that I can add my art and be cinematic and impact people.
Yeah.
And I get excited and I'm riveted by it. And you don't, that doesn't fall in your lap. You can't plan that. People don't give themselves permission to explore those things.
Yeah.
They're thinking right or wrong.
Yeah.
They're thinking, what's the expectation? What are my friends going to say? What's my family? It's like, go.
Yeah.
You know, allow yourself, give yourself the gift of life.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most important things I've learned. It's not a test. Like, just.
Was there ever a time that you got close to saying, no, I'm done with this. I'm going to go back. And if so, was it super early on? Was it year two or three where you were going to trash the whole thing and go back, or, you know, talk about that? Because I think, you know, sometimes we're like, hey, you know, we figured out there is no turn. Somebody might be in the middle of their process right now and feeling something a certain way and being like, well, maybe it's not for me because I do feel like quitting right now.
Yeah.
I do feel like shutting that door and going back to where I came from, right?
I think the context changes, right? So like now, of course, like issues don't go away.
Yeah.
They're just not necessarily like the same. They're not like the first couple of years is very much financially like
pressure.
Yeah. And that was a scary thing, right? And so like there was never, hey, you're going to quit or go back, especially like 6 months in, like once I stepped into the pool, it was like, you're swimming.
Yeah.
But I think that's what made it tough, right? Because I had days where, you know, you work on something and you think it's like
The bomb,
right?
Yeah.
So powerful.
Yeah.
People are going to let you just crickets.
Yeah.
And you're so invested in this thing, right? I didn't have a girlfriend.
Creating the expectation of what it should have been.
It was my life.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it hurt. And so I would every once in a while spiral into like a feeling of just depression.
Yeah.
And how do you get out of that? You just show up again. Like,
yeah.
It's like there's an idea that got me through. And I think anyone going through this chapter in their life, or if they're going through something similar, it's like you're one decision away. You're one creation away. You know, you swing and you miss and you feel down, whatever. Find the courage to just step up again. You don't have to, there are no miracles. You don't have to hit a home run. You don't have to pull a rabbit out of a hat. Just pick yourself up and show up again. And that over time, like, didn't feel like 6 years. You know, I'm like, it's crazy to look back and be like, I barely got by for that amount of time. But like, you just show up.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
You know, and the little wins keep stacking up and compounding and you don't even realize because you're in it.
Yeah. Maybe it goes back to expectations, right? Where we talked about the expectations of other people, but also maybe it goes back to talking about expectations of what the process should look like and how fruitful it should be in what type of time frame. Like some people are willing to sacrifice for this amount of, you know, like I'll try it, you know, I'll start going down that path. But if it's not as fruitful as they would like, and it's always way harder than you could ever expect and always takes way longer than you could ever expect. And it's almost like when you're in the process and you're hurting financially, it's like doggy years. 1 year feels like seven.
Yeah.
You know? And then next thing you know, as long as you're just chipping away at it, time does end up flying by. And next thing you know, I don't believe anybody should have any expectation of anything that's new and different if they're changing courses in life from what is to what they want for a minimum of 5 years.
Yeah.
If you're not putting in at least 5 years of honest effort and all out effort, don't expect a result because nobody really changes their life in 2 years, right? And you didn't go down the path to change your life in 1 year or 2 year. You were projecting and looking at like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. So I'm going to start doing this. That's why you made the change. It wasn't, hey, I need to get rich in 2 years and this isn't it. So let's jump over here. But all of a sudden, when you jump over there, you're creating some false expectations of, maybe this isn't going to be as fruitful as I would like, but eventually you do hit that hockey stick moment And for everybody, it's going to be different. Some people might see it in 4 years. Some people, it might take 7, 8, 9, 10 years. It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
As long as the effort and the energy is put into it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a firm believer of that.
Yeah. I mean, if it was about money, it wouldn't have happened, because after year two, I would have left and done something else that was more lucrative.
Yeah.
Right? And at least at the time.
It's about honoring you.
Right. But you said some things that I think were super critical. Like, you... doing it until you win is not square peg round hole. It's not every day you just jam it. It's like you're continuously learning and evolving and adapting, so that, you know, those little pieces start stacking up. It's not just hitting your head against.
Yeah.
You know,
what is the business side of what you do look like?
Yeah. Well, it's one of the reasons I've connected so well with Tyler. So
yeah.
my thought was, and it ended up being dead on, is if you can be the 1% at a skill and you cultivate an audience, you have to be an idiot not to be able to monetize it, right? That was my thought. And so I didn't focus on, like, I made enough to live. Those times where it got scary and I got lucky and someone would be like, Ed, I need a video, or write me a speech. I have a quarterly meeting, I got lucky a few times. But it was like, I want to be the best storyteller on the platform and I want to show up for my audience. And so as my audience continuously grew, and I got better and better and better, that sort of evolved. And so now I'm at a point where, you know, just on ad revenue alone on some of these places, you know, I have a team of 7 people. So that, but that's, again, that's not quote unquote business really. So I've been a student of that game. I started a creative agency, my business partner, Justin, and now we're helping other companies tell their story through media, which has been a big thing, doing consulting, still doing a little bit of speech writing, but the beauty is, like, I get to say no to a lot of
that your financial situation said yes to.
It was a miracle when they landed on my lap in 2017.
Renter, the mortgage, said yes to that one. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, so a lot of it, I mean, is on the media side. It's ad revenue, it's sponsorships, it's, you know, monetizing the podcast.
So what does that look like? Again, business, do you get to choose what ads get ran on your YouTube channel? Do you get to choose the partners, or does YouTube do that and say, hey, we'll give you, like, I don't know a whole lot about that.
So the way it works on YouTube is they'll actually place ads in your videos.
Yeah.
And so... you don't have control over what ads they're putting there.
So when you say that you have some people reach out to you for, like, what does that mean?
So that's a different kind of thing, where your host reading an ad. So YouTube is just going to drop ads after I upload it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I can also say, sure, let's say Nike, right? Which hasn't happened, but just using.
Yeah.
Sure, Nike, like, yeah, we'll do a 30-minute slot, a 30-second slot, right? And so I'll put it after speech one in my video compilation where I do a readout for Nike.
So that's within your video and while YouTube is also doing their ads.
Yeah, you can double
over the top of the video.
Exactly.
Gotcha. So did somebody teach you that, just, or did you get close with somebody at one point, and then, or did these opportunities just, you start looking at your email after 5, 6, you know, and they start trickling in?
So the beauty is, like, you know, on YouTube, you know, getting sometimes 250,000 views a day, you know, it's the best marketing there is. It's like free exposure.
Yeah.
So stuff generally, and that's not to say, you know, my team and I are not proactive when we want a particular thing or have a particular idea, but the influx of opportunities that come in, like, again, you talk about that hockey stick thing, 0 to 60 happens quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's that exposure is really a valuable thing.
Yeah. What piece of advice would you give to somebody that's trying to make YouTube content right now, that's struggling with it?
So I'll give a sort of a practical thing and a philosophical thing. Practically, YouTube really values watch time. I mean, that's just the reality. So if you can find a way to create cohesive feel to your stuff and videos that are 10 minutes or longer, YouTube's going to push it.
So 10 minutes, you want to make your video a minimum of 10 minutes on YouTube?
The longer, the better. It's crazy,
wow,
but it's true. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like your channel lives or dies on YouTube, wins or loses on YouTube based on how often YouTube recommends your video to other people organically.
Yeah.
And so you have to put it in the best position to do that. It values watch time. It's got to know exactly what your brand is, exactly what kind of content you are, so it can index you and share you with similar folks. So you have to be thinking that way in order to get distributed in a way that's going to grow your channel meaningfully. So that's the pragmatic thing, understanding the platform. And then there's a philosophical thing. A lot of people copy, you know, and I've made that mistake and had to pivot back, you know, over the years where it's like, oh, this person's doing webinars. I should do webinars. This person, right? Now, a lot of people ripping off my stuff.
Yeah.
It's the circle that goes round and round and round. And I think the people that win can say, okay, I understand how John Smith does it. I understand why it's valuable. I understand why people go there. How can I take those pieces and combine it with my unique, authentic self? Because that's where there's fireworks. It's like understanding what works and what's new and special about you and marrying those things. Carbon copies just won't win. You know?
Yeah.
It's one, because it already exists, and two, because the drive and the stuff that makes anything special will always be the creator.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't, nobody's going to be able to duplicate you.
Exactly.
Right? They could say what you say, but when you're the actual one that said it, you said it for a reason, and you said it, I believe, with a certain energy or a feeling or an emotion behind it that was meaningful to you, and then somebody else is just saying it to say it.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I think for the most part, humans are smart. Their antennas there to where they can kind of pick it up and say, there's so many copycats anymore, whether it's in the personal development or success space, you know, life coaches at, you know, 21 years old, when they don't even know life yet. They haven't even gone through a before and after accident, as you know, Tyler calls it, right?
Yep.
Or any dark, dark moments. Like, I don't even believe that you know who you are unless you've experienced some pain and misery, because that's when you actually start going inward, right? Like, everything up until that point, you're seeking some sort of external validation. It's the pain that makes you say, okay, it's not out there. I need to go within. I need to tap into myself. You know, it was the pain of wanting to pop your tire or hope for a flat tire, saying, I don't want to show up to the office, that made you really reflect internally and say, I just can't do this anymore. This is not the right way for me to live, that then made, you know, the changes for you to become the person that you are that inspires people. And if you never really listen to that, then the world would be a little bit lesser of a place, because less people would be inspired. I know that there's many, many people that are looking to your content for that source of inspiration, just as Jim Rohn does it for us. You're now that for them, and hopefully they become the person that they're supposed to become, and that trickle effect can continue and continue. So I appreciate what you do, man, and I appreciate you coming on the show. How do people connect with you or find you? What's your YouTube channel, all that good stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube, Eddie Panero. Same thing on Instagram, Eddie Panero.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes and keep, I guess, their eyes peeled for the announcement of Level.
Yeah, money stuff coming.
And walk for 24 hours straight with Eddie and Tyler.
Let's go.
Find some misery with friends, you know, and, you know, you'll find a version of yourself that I think that you'll be proud of, right? And a feeling that that is unique to only the people that are willing to go that extra mile. In this case, I guess it is a pun that is intended there. So
learn some meaningful things about yourself in a desert.
Yeah, exactly. You know, whether or not you got it or not, you'll find out in the desert with 40 pounds on your back. So, man, I enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, Trevor.
Thank you coming out. Appreciate you, bro. Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Again, make sure you share the show with somebody that you love and appreciate, that you care about, that may be going through some times where they're questioning their current life's path. I think that this was a great episode for that. So keep kicking ass, and we'll see you guys next week.